the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right, well, welcome to the Roundtable Podcast. Don and Andrew are here, and so today we want to talk about fasting. Actually, this was a request by someone in our church to say, hey, we've talked about a lot of maybe even disciplines, talked about money and all these things, but she just said, I'm really curious about fasting. So we want to spend the next, whatever, half an hour just talking about what is fasting, what's the purpose of it, and then even in our culture, you know, 2016, what could fasting look like, and then maybe just ending with some kind of some practical steps to take to kind of make this a regular part of your Christian walk. So I don't know, Don, maybe for people listening and they hear that word and they go, what in the world? So what is fasting? Don, why don't you answer that?
So yeah, fasting, I guess biblically, if you look at the Greek words, it literally means to go without food. So fasting is to take a break for a period of time from food. And that happened a lot of times in the Bible. So that's kind of the biblical definition of fasting. We today often fast or to break from something. And that's kind of interesting. Breakfast, word for breakfast is to break the fast. We haven't eaten since supper time, so we've been fasting.
That's the easiest time to fast, when you're sleeping.
When you're sleeping, you can go without food and you know, maybe magically something will happen.
Yeah, so but, if you can say, I fast every night.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting that our breakfast is to break a fast that we haven't eaten since the day before, and now we're having breakfast, breaking that fast. So that's kind of the simple definition of fasting, just to go without food.
Yeah, and I mean, we see that in the Bible lots. Moses fasted 40 days on Mount Sinai when he was receiving the law. We know, you know, Jesus goes into the wilderness and he fasts and he's tempted. I mean, we won't read all of them because there's just packed full. You see followers of God, followers of Jesus. It's just a part of what they do. They fast. They don't eat food. Some fast from food and water. Probably that's, you know, God miraculously keeping them alive because you can't live without water. So we're not recommending a long-term water fast. But then so you look at that, okay, biblically, and you can look up some of those examples on your own time, but then to ask the why, okay, so followers of God, you see in the Old Testament, whatever, prophets, the Israelites, they fasted, okay, but why? Like, is it just a punishment, or is it a way to show how super spiritual you are? Like, we want to kind of spend a couple minutes talking about, well, why would you fast? Why did people fast in the Bible? What was the purpose of that? And then, you know, why should followers of Jesus today make that a part of their spiritual walk, I guess?
Yeah, well, I mean, typically in the Old Testament, fasting came when people were desperate to hear from God or have God intervene in a situation. So I think of like Esther, in the book of Esther, Esther and Mordecai were Jews, and the king of Babylon and his right-hand man, Haman, Haman devised a plan to annihilate all the Jews. And this news came to Mordecai and Esther, who was the queen at that time. And they got this news that their people and themselves ultimately would be annihilated on a certain day. And Mordecai tells Esther, the queen, that you got to go talk to the king about this. You got to try to save us. And Esther says, well, if I go to the king, I could be dead. And Mordecai says, well, we're going to be dead anyways if someone doesn't do something. So here's what Esther said in Esther chapter 4. She says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Like, we're in a desperate situation. You and your people and I and my group here in the palace will fast for 3 days. No water, no eating, and we'll seek God. And after 3 days, I will go talk to the king. Could be the last thing I do. But so that was a desperate time. And I know we read in Daniel as well where Daniel was trying to find answers to visions he had in this situation. So he fasted and prayed. I don't know if it says how long he did it, but he fasted and prayed to seek God for an answer, mm-hmm. Just desperately crying out to God. And so we see this kind of in the Old Testament over and over again, that as, you know, certain situations came up, it was just a time of crying out to God to hear from him. And this involved fasting, going out with food and water to seek God and hear from him.
Yeah, and I mean, even an example in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is serving in the king's court, and he kind of finds out about what's been happening in Jerusalem. There's this report that comes, and, you know, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, the gates are destroyed, basically just this destruction. And so Nehemiah hears about this, and this is what it says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So the immediate response to this heartbreaking news is that Nehemiah sought the Lord. He kind of removed food, and he sat, and he wept, and he prayed, and he fasted, just seeking God. So that's an example too. I'm reminded in 2 Samuel when David sins and he's busted by Nathan the prophet. He committed adultery, he got a guy murdered, all this terrible stuff that is in chapter 11. And then chapter 12, Nathan comes and he rebukes David and he says, "You've sinned." And then it's the punishment for that was David's child died. And so it says, this is what it says, "And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick." And this is in verse 16. "David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground." And then it says some of the elders tried to like get him up and tried to give him food. And it said he would not, nor did eat food with them. And it's interesting. So we go, okay, so David is on behalf of the child fasting, praying. We don't know what he prayed. It's not recorded. Maybe asking for mercy. Yeah. And then it's interesting. It says on the seventh day, the child died. So we can't say that, you know, because David fasted, he was being super spiritual. And so God necessarily gave him what he wanted. And then it says he got up. Where does it say? On the seventh day, the child died. The servants of David were afraid to tell him. And it says, David arose, washed, anointed himself, changed clothes, and he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. So just, I mean, there's other examples too, but I think the big why would we fast? And I know, Don, you shared a bit before we started recording, just maybe one of your understandings of fasting was kind of I don't want to use the word manipulative tool, but why don't you share a bit about like what your thinking of fasting was?
Yeah, no, definitely. As I was growing in my Christian life, I did fast quite a bit, but I did have this false idea that fasting was this, you know, really, I don't know, sacred act that would kind of tip God in my favor to work in my favor. And I think that's partially true, but I definitely had a wrong idea that if I fasted, then God would almost guaranteed that God would answer my prayer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there was some faulty thinking in fasting where I've come to understand that it is a seeking God of just kind of putting everything else aside and asking for him. And then being free to let God answer how he wanted. I was confident he would answer now, but it would be how he would answer rather than how I wanted him to answer. So I had to learn that difference there, that fasting didn't guarantee he would do it the way I wanted it.
Yeah.
And now it was knowing he was going to answer, but it would be his way. It would be his will, which was actually very encouraging that he would answer according to his will. But yeah, there was that learning what it was about.
Yeah, and I think that David example really shows that. Like David fasted and God answered, but probably, I'm guessing, not the way David wanted. Yeah. And so we go, okay, So yeah, I think the danger, and we have to make sure we're being clear, fasting is not a way to manipulate God or say, okay, well, I'm praying for something, so I better fast. So just kind of show God that I'm really serious about what I'm praying about, and then he'll give it to me. Really, I think fasting is largely for our benefit spiritually, with so many of the spiritual disciplines. I think it is a way of removing distractions so that you have time to just focus and seek God. I'll give an example from our life. My mom has had medical issues for years and years and years, and a while ago, us kids kind of, and I may be spoiling this, my mom doesn't know we did this, but basically said, okay, each day of the week, one kid is going to take that day and fast and pray for mom, basically. And so it was, you know, my day was Tuesday, my sister, her day was Monday, and we all just kind of took a day. And as far as we can tell, God hasn't completely healed mom. Mm. And so we could go, well, you know, but we fasted, God. We're showing you how serious we are about this. But I think the fasting in that moment was to, okay, I'm going to remove these distractions so that I can really focus on praying for mom and seeking God and spending time with him. So really, it was for our benefit. Although, yeah, we're just begging God on behalf of our mom, and we're fasting and showing, you know, that we're so wanting God to answer us. But then also submitting to his will and his timing. So really, I think to boil it down is, yeah, fasting is removing those distractions so that you can spend time with God. Now, biblically, we only see fasting as from food. But, I mean, Don, you were kind of sharing, like, why that, you know, food was just such a massive part. Like, what else did they have? Basically, they couldn't fast from Facebook or, like, social media or television or whatever. And food, it's interesting, like, would take hours to prepare, and a meal was a big social thing, and meals lasted hours. And I think to abstain or fast from food, you were giving yourself a big chunk of the day that you didn't have to go and prepare food and spend time eating food. Like you were spending that time with God. So I think that's why we see it as only with food, because I'm like, in the first century, what else did they, or before that, what else did they have? Not a whole lot. Yeah. I'm going to fast from gathering sticks. I don't know. But so biblically, if fasting is from food, I don't know, Don, like, before we say, you know, what are some ways we can fast today, what are some experiences you've had fasting? Like, what are some things that you've done while fasting? Like, do you have a certain, I don't know, fasting routine or some things that you do to do that? Or how often? Or, I don't know, just maybe share some of your experiences with this discipline.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a set day or time that I fast every week at this time. More it's when seasons come that I'm really seeking God to, like, I mean, just in this last year, I became a pastor. So there were times I just skipped meals to pray and just really concentrate on hearing from God, through this process of becoming a pastor. And I didn't necessarily hear a lot at those times, but looking back now, I see how God directed things and opened doors, and did fasting open some door? I can't really say that, but it was just lining myself up to have God speak to me and direct me, and just to, so I would skip meals and I guess my practice was just to be in prayer. And also, it was really good during times of fasting to see how much I was depending on other things sometimes to in my life. Like, it exposed what was in my heart often, what I was going to, which for me was probably the biggest benefit of when I fast, because I wanted to connect with God in a real way, and sometimes, you know, when I fast, then it just seemed like all these other thoughts come in. Like, I just want to move right into this sweet worship with God. But the fasting kind of exposed how much other stuff was in my heart distracting me from even hearing God. So I think for me, that was big. It didn't manipulate God. It actually exposed me and helped me confess. And some of them were good things. They weren't bad things, but they were things that were taking time or devotion to God. So it really kind of helped me narrow. God says, you want to seek me? Well, you can't. You got all this static in the way. And through the fasting, it often just exposed that. And as I confessed that and dealt with it, then it moved into where it was just me and God, which I thought was there before. But fasting kind of exposed. So I don't necessarily have a time, but I know with the youth group over this year, it's kind of a funny story. I got to put Andrew under the bus because I owe him one. On my birthday, I think it was, or the next day.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought of this, but we were going to have youth that night or the next night, and we were going to deal with the topic that I just God just impressed on me, like, you need to pray. The enemy is going to not want to have the youth hear this. So I decided I was going to skip the rest of the meals that day and pray. And so as soon as I made that decision, Andrew calls and says, hey, Don, I'm at Tim Hortons here. Can I get you a donut for your birthday? I mean, the one time my boss was going to get me something, I said, well, no, thanks. I'll pass. So.
And I was like, what a jerk. I'm offering him a no.
So I think Andrew even said later that he was kind of thinking something was up. And I just said I had just made a commitment to just pray, to kind of just hear from God and concentrate on this upcoming. And as it was, that night turned into a real spiritual battle. And so it was like God was saying, hey, heads up, you need to be aware. And so I kind of just dug in for that day.
Yeah,
and it turned out to be a real spiritual battle at youth that night. Can't remember what we talked about. So that was just kind of a spur of the moment decision to just dig in a little bit in prayer. And so it turned out that I needed to be ready and prepared, which I was because that happened. So.
Yeah. I was just being used by God to test you. Apple fritter. Are you sure?
I'm breaking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in my experience, fasting is an area that I haven't done a whole ton of. Yeah. I've done some fasts. I mean, I remember in high school doing the 30-hour famine.
Right.
And, you know, that's for 30 hours you don't eat and raise money for kids and who are hungry, basically. But I mean, I struggled with that too, because I remember at the very end, we just gorged on this big. So I'm like, what did we learn from this? Nothing. And then I can remember a few times in high school, just kind of personally doing a day fast at school. And I was one that could never, and maybe I'm just weak, but could never do a full day. I could do two meals. But by the end of the day, I don't know. And I've never been able to. It's always been kind of a lunch and dinner or breakfast and lunch from food. I've fasted from other things, but specifically food. It's been more for me a kind of, I'm going to skip this meal. I'm going to skip two meals. You know, I'm going to do 12 hour or whatever it is. And I just remember, it was, you know, I can vividly remember one in high school, and it was, you know, instead of sitting down and eating lunch, I just sat down and had my Bible open and read and prayed and kind of spent that, whatever it was, half an hour. Okay, I'm just specifically, you know, focusing on Jesus. I don't have to eat, so I got this time to do that. And it was really cool, and I agree, Don. It kind of, I don't want to say fasting is this super spiritual thing, but it's almost like a heightened awareness of, from my experience, spiritual things, I guess. I don't know what it is, but when you remove things from your life and you're specifically focused on seeking God, I think there's something that you have this kind of heightened awareness of the spiritual realm. I don't know if I'm way off, but that's
It's even like a relationship with your wife, let's say, or your close friend, when you're really looking each other in the eye and talking, when there's no, like, you can tell, my wife can tell, like, you're not here, you're at work or
what
somewhere
are you thinking
else.
About?
And so we're talking, but... Yeah. But when we're really looking each other in the eye and connecting, I think that's kind of what we're saying with fasting. Like, we're looking each other in the eye, and God has our full attention. And so, and that's what I was saying with when I fast, sometimes it's more to expose, like, you're not with me here, Dawn. And I have to go, God, you're right. I'm thinking about this or whatever, good things maybe, but... Yeah. I want to hear from you, but I'm not in a position to hear from you. And sometimes it's, let's look at each other face to face, and then I can actually hear from God.
That's a really good way to put it, because I can even think in our marriage with two young girls, when we like finally get a date night, no distractions. You're right, sitting across the table, there is something super special about that. And it's this reconnection. So yeah, I can see that.
And I think that's from God's end in fasting is, you know, when you fast, this is kind of what God is saying. This is what I want. I want your attention on me and my attention on you. And in that, you know, that moment, there is some sweet worship connection. And I think that's what fasting has done for me after I've got some of the distortions or, you know, some of those other things out of the way. This, you know, time of face-to-face conversation, which God wants.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So in our day and age, I think so biblically, it seems to be that fasting is abstaining from food. But, I mean, can we fast from other things? What do you think? Are we held, you know, hard and fast to, nope, it's just food? What do you think?
I think the Bible doesn't command us to fast, but it encourages it, right? And so I think then that gives us room to maybe put other things in there. Like, I know for myself, growing up, I loved 80s music. So that dates me. And if you saw that Facebook picture, Andrew's saying, you know, I was the 80s guy. So, but anyways, a lot of the songs bring back great memories. A lot of the songs are very sensual and they're not good. So I fasted from music for a long time. I know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7 that you can decide to abstain from sex for a period of time to pray, but don't get out of hand where you run into trouble. Come back together. But so there's a fasting from sex. And I know during the Lent season, a lot of people have, you know, really looked at what's kind of got a hold of my life right now. And it can be a variety of things, but to cut themselves off for a month from that has been really good. It really showed them how strong a hold it has. And maybe that face-to-face connection is not where it should be. So
maybe for those listening that don't, what's Lent? Because you just kind of explain
that's,
what that
that's
is.
Good. There's this period of time, 40 days before Easter season, to kind of prepare to celebrate the resurrection and or death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So a lot of people take those 40 days and in order to prepare, give up something, fast from something. And for some it was coffee, for some it was media.
Right.
That's kind of what Lent.
Yeah, and I think the Catholic Church really observes that, and other denominations. I know some evangelical denominations don't really, they kind of mention it. Hey, it's Lent. And I think they maybe downplay it in a response to kind of the legalistic side of it, but I think we miss out when we don't participate in those kind of Christian calendar type of events. You know, we celebrate Mother's Day and all these Hallmark events and Father's Day and but like to celebrate Pentecost Sunday and Lent and all of these Christian events, I think it's a good thing. And I lots of friends of mine give up coffee or chocolate or Facebook or whatever it is as a way to, like you said, mentally prepare yourself for this time where we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. And yeah, like you said, nowhere in the Bible, I don't think that it, in the New Testament, it commands. I know Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, when he talks about fasting, he says, and when you fast. So he's almost kind of saying it like it's just presumed. Yeah. Well, obviously, okay, you're going to fast. So he's not saying, and when you fast once a week or when you fast every Tuesday or whatever it is. But he just kind of, it's this assumption that Jesus says, and when you fast, this is verse 16 of chapter 6. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in heaven, or who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so I don't think that there's a set, you must fast, but it's like Jesus is just assuming that followers of his will fast. Yeah. And so, and I don't think for us it has to be food. I think there is something to do that, to fast from food, because I think in our culture we just don't understand what it means to be hungry. Yeah. And whenever I'm hungry, I grab a snack or I drive to the store and spend a couple bucks and get a snack. Like, I think to fast specifically from food is a great thing to do periodically, to just remind ourselves of the importance of food and to spend time with God instead of having meals. But I think we can fast from, like Don was saying, from all sorts of things that are vying for time and attention and pulling us away from Jesus. So I think, yeah, social media, phones, I think it was you, Don, that was talking about, was there someone in the youth group that however much time they spent on Facebook, that's how much time they spent reading their Bible? Was it someone in youth group that did that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
That commitment.
But when you think about the amount of time, when I think about the amount of time that I spend on my phone, whatever it is, playing Angry Birds or just stupid things, I'm like, to say, okay, I'm going to fast from my phone, just phone calls, emergency phone calls, nothing else, or like to fast from, I know lots of my friends would disconnect their Facebook accounts for a month and fast from that, or whatever it is, fasting from television, fasting from, I don't know, I've heard people, I'm going to fast from like broccoli or things that I don't eat anyways. I'm like, that's silly. You're just trying to cheat. But I think we can fast from all sorts of things. Anything that is kind of consuming our time that we go, maybe this is getting to an unhealthy level, yeah, then I need to spend some time evaluating that. And I think Jesus also in this passage is given a really good point. When we fast, it's supposed to be this, he uses the word secret, this secret thing that we do. It's between us and Jesus. And I like even when Don's example with the donut thing, like, I appreciated that he didn't, sorry, I'm fasting today. I can't be like you who are eating, right? It was just like, no, I'm going to pass. And I can remember it like in high school when I first started being like, oh, I'm going to try fasting. I so was a hypocrite. I so did this. It was bad. I'd be like, hey, what are you guys doing for lunch? Oh, we're going to this. Do you want to come? Nope. Sorry. I'm fasting today. Just like so ridiculous. Like, what a Pharisee.
Oh, well.
But Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't act all gloomy. And, you know, he says, have a shower, like do your hair, wash your face, so that people don't know that you're fasting. That should be the goal. No one should know. It's just between you and Jesus. So, and I love even on Facebook, people, we so want praise from people. And every time one of my friends does something like that, it's always, hey, if you can't reach me, it's because I'm fasting. No, I'm like, you don't have to say that. So I think that attitude is kind of missing the point. People shouldn't be able to tell that you're fasting. That's kind of what Jesus is getting at, that it's a complete secret thing between you and him.
I think something you said there too, Andrew, is good too. Like, is if we think the fasting is going to be kind of a chore or a bad thing, like, oh, I'm going to do this, then it's kind of lost its meaning as well. Like, if you're, I got to do this, or I'm going to do this, and then like God's saying, don't waste your time. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Fasting is it's out of a joy or out of a desire to meet with God. So if it's a chore, then, and that's what happened in Isaiah 58. God talks about fasting there. Hmm. And the people said, well, you haven't even noticed that we fasted. And he says, well, your fasting is a waste of time because you're you're doing it and you're fighting while you're doing it. And the attitudes are wrong. But yet they said, you know, God, haven't you noticed this?
Yeah.
We're fasting. And he says, hey, if you want to fast, this is how you do it. So it's Isaiah 58 is a good chapter to read on this conflict of true fasting and fasting that God says, don't waste your time with it because your attitude, your motives are way off and it's not helping. So
I'll give you another total fail on my part when it comes to fasting. When we kind of started the new year, I had thrown out that idea of, you know, every once in a while when we have elders meetings on Mondays, why don't we as elders, and Don's remembering, why don't we as elders fast for the day and spend the day praying? That way we're kind of in a good headspace for our elders meetings and we've spent days. So like the very next one, so we said this in like January and the February meeting, I show up to the elders meeting with a box of donuts. And I remember a few of them had forgotten, like me, but then a few of them were like, no thank you. Like, were we supposed to fast?
I thought we were fasting.
So, man, just bad. So there you go. I am not perfect at this. why don't we end with just some practical tips? Because hopefully some of you, if you're following Jesus and you're listening, you're like, okay, I want to try this discipline. And it's a discipline like anything else, reading your Bible, praying. All of those things are disciplines, meaning it's like if you go to the gym and work out, you work at it and you discipline yourself to do it. So I'm hoping that some of you are going, yeah, man, maybe I want to try fasting, but maybe what are some tips or practical things just for those people who want to try fasting? I don't know. Yeah. Do you have any?
Well, I would say, when we talked about this before, don't start university. Like, go, I'm going to fast for 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, skip one meal and just maybe write a couple things down that you want to pray about. And, like, for me, I think what would be important, too, is to kind of allow God to search your heart, too, and be ready to, you're going to have all kinds of pushback. Your body's is used to being very spoiled, so when you even skip one meal, your body's going to fight back, and it's going to be just a good time to kind of examine your own life and allow God to search you. But yeah, do one meal, or if there is some other things that God might be talking to you about, Facebook or whatever, make it manageable. Don't put a thing out there that's, because then the idea is kind of, well, if I do it for 10 days, God's got to come through.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is that you want to be face-to-face with God and get into this space where you're totally looking at God. And that might mean a day of fasting from something or 2 days or one meal and start with something doable.
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there. So I think that's one practical thing, like start, God is looking at your heart and he sees where you want to start. So there's not a set thing where if you can't do this, don't bother.
Yep.
So.
No, I think that's probably the biggest thing to remember. Because I know, to just jump in and go, well, if Moses can do it, I can do it. And I'm going to fast for 40 days. Or even to, I think that we just jump to these grandiose things. And I would go, what's your kind of motivation for that? Yeah. To say, hey, I fasted for 7 days. To just, man, start small. Like even when you think of working out your body, you don't jump up to, hey, I'm going to bench press 400 pounds. You'll kill yourself. To just say, hey, I'm going to start slow and I'm going to start, right? I love it, Don. It's so true. Skip a meal. Because then it's the motivation behind it is what Jesus is interested in. Not Jesus is going to, well, hey, you did 7 days. It's like, no, so you skipped lunch and you spent time with me. That's awesome. Start with that. And the same with not just food, with with other things, I know people, I'm never going to watch TV again. I'm like, well, you're going to fail. Just be realistic, I think. Maybe that's the title. Be realistic. Yeah. Like, say, I'm not going to watch TV today. And then if that goes really well, then say, I'm not going to watch TV for 2 days or whatever it is. And just start, because it is a discipline. You start slow. And then I think you'll realize the more often you do that kind of stuff, it's the same with reading your Bible and praying. The more that you read your Bible, I think the more you develop a love for it and you want to do it more. Yeah. And so the more that you kind of remove things from your life to spend time with God, I think the more that you'll want to do that. And so I'm guessing that it will get easier to do that, to take things out of your life that are maybe... So yeah, I mean, that is probably the biggest thing. Don't jump to being superhero Christian, like, and that's just missing what the whole point is. And then obviously, like, I think biblically, like, to not make a big deal about it in front of other people, I think that's a huge thing. Don't, no one on social media needs to know that you're fasting. That's missing the point. Just it's between you and Jesus. I think too, practical, like, obviously drink water, like stuff like that. That's just very practical, so that you don't die.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you can look at the act itself and how to do it to gain something, but it's through that to bring your relationship with God in the right place. It's not the act.
Yeah.
How do I do this just right so I can maximize? Well, then, you're back to the wrong motives thing. It's in the wrong way.
Yeah, so hopefully this has been helpful, and I would encourage, if you are following Jesus, to try fasting from something, and then, like Don said, to write down, you know, what God is speaking to you, what you're learning through it, and then I think too, not necessarily that you're boasting about your fasting, but to share that with a trusted person. Not that you're saying, hey, I was fasting, but just say, hey, this is amazing. God has been teaching me this. Because then that's a way that you encourage someone else, and a way to kind of unpack it and make sense of what God is. So I think that's good, too, to share with someone who's a trusted friend. Yeah. And maybe that would encourage them to fast as well and draw closer to Jesus. So, hopefully that's been good. And we will talk to you again.